On today's podcast, we have Igwehi James, CEO of Love Igwehi. Igwehi is a proud Nigerian American, but as a child was embarrassed by her sun-kissed skin, broad nose, and hard to pronounce name. Today, she infuses her culture into making comfortable and fashionable apparel using vibrant fabrics from the motherland. With the help of YouTube and a sewing machine given to her by her mother, Igwehi began sewing as a hobby and gained traction after friends continuously asked her for a skirt of their own. After 4 years of sweat, blood, and tears, Igwehi now operates Love Igwehi on a full-time basis after taking a leap of faith by quitting her full-time job to pursue this dream. In today's episode, she keeps it honest about how she loves herself, empowers her daughter, honors Black culture, and maintains through the peaks and valleys of entrepreneurship. Dream Chasers, welcome Igwehi.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right. So today on the Dream Chaser podcast, we have someone very special, Love Igwehi. I'm really excited to have her in the guest chair today. Welcome, Igwehi.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yay. So, you know, we are in the month of February, just got finished celebrating Valentine's Day and all the love and everything. And so, of course, when I hear love, one of the things that pops on my mind is Love Igwehi. And so I figured it would be cool to have you on the podcast this month. Now, we've just heard your bio and all of who you are and everything. And so one of the questions that I wanted to ask you was, how was it growing up as a Nigerian American here in the Bay Area? How was that for you?
It was different. You know, I was born in a time where I think a lot of our parents were just migrating over from Nigeria to the US. And so there weren't a lot of Nigerians in the Bay. So I felt like we were one of few families, and the community was really close. So any Nigerian that was here, and it still rings true today, like everybody's an auntie, everybody's an uncle, regardless of, you know, if you're really blood or not. But it made it hard as a young Nigerian American, because like most kids, you want to fit in, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to be like your friends. And so right off bat, like having a name, Igwehi, like, ain't nobody heard of that before.
Imagine mounting your name was on the keychain, I'm assuming.
You go to the amusement park, they'll never have Igwehi. I'm all searching. You know what? Don't even try, right? No. So it was hard. Like, it was really hard because you want to fit in, you want to be like your friends, but it was very, very obvious from the name alone that you were different, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kids are kids. Kids can be mean. And so they would make fun, right? They would make fun of my name, or like, oh, you know, and people's knowledge of like Africa and
right,
very limited, other than like those infomercials and stuff you would see, like Feed the Children. So like kids were like, oh, do your parents live in huts? And we're like, no. You guys wear clothes, and you're like, yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that part was hard. But as I grew up and became more comfortable with myself and just more proud of the uniqueness of being Nigerian American, I realized that it was such a honor, you know, and a blessing to have that rich culture, even though I was born here. So it was, it ended up being something that I really kind of wear on my sleeves now, but as a child, it was hard.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. Because really, I wanted, as we go further in our conversation this episode, you know, I talked about love, of course, for February, but self-love is really where we're hinging on. And what my next question is, what parts of yourself did you hate when you were younger that now you're like, body roll.
This is me. You gonna get what I'm giving. Mm-hmm. I think some of the things that I didn't like, I don't think that it was different from any other Black girl, right? And okay. So what you saw as a projection of beauty in media, in magazines, on TV was like white, and it was white. And so the thing that I really, really had a hard time with is features like my wide nose, or mm-hmm. just like darker, just having a darker complexion and feeling like, mm-hmm. man, like, I wish I was lighter, or I wish my hair mm-hmm. was like softer because it's standing up. And
standing up.
It's standing up. And it's not going like these girls in the magazine. And so those are the type of things that I was really self-conscious about my nose.
Yeah.
I was just okay. like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I don't like it. And so those are the type of things that
yeah.
really hard.
And I guess my sentiments will be the exact same. Like, I have a broad nose too. And of all my sisters and brothers, I think like mine is like the biggest. So like even my brothers and sisters like tease me about my nose. And my brothers are like just a small shade darker than me. So I was one of like the darker two. So even right now, when I hear brown skin girl from Beyonce, like I go crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, there's a celebration of us and our rich, beautiful skin that I don't feel like mm-hmm. we had as a kid.
No.
Like, not nobody at all. Was celebrating that. Nobody was saying, hey, little Black girl with kinky hair, it's
right.
bomb that you have this hair that can do all these things. No.
Right. No, right? Not at all.
Permit.
Not at all. Permit.
Permit.
Make that Press stuff it. Lay down.
Yeah.
The devil. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we are living in an amazing time. And obviously, Lovey Gway, he helps to celebrate and really uplift the uniqueness of Black women. And I believe that's what your fashion and your line really does. And so you are a part of the solution to help little Black girls and Black women feel comfortable in the skin that they're in. And so when I think about, being a Black woman, loving ourselves and all of the different challenges that we have, and how sometimes we have to peel off pieces of us to walk into certain environments to feel comfortable. Like, that really sucks.
It does. It does.
That really sucks. So how do you even now really just own your Blackness and own who you are, but then also maybe educate others? Because I see you out on the road, and sometimes your customers don't always look like you mm-hmm. per se. So I think that is a responsibility of us to obviously educate others, but then also walk confidently in who we are. So how do you feel like the Love Igwehi brand does that and helps that?
So the Love Igwehi, the tagline for Love Igwehi is love the way you look, love the way you feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes when you are not, you have something on that's uncomfortable, or you have something on that you know, you may be tugging at it, or it, for whatever reason, doesn't make you look your best,
mm-hmm.
you walk differently, right? And yeah. so when you have something on that you feel is bold and beautiful and attracts attention, garners compliments, it just makes mm-hmm. you feel good about yourself and how you look. You walk with a different strut, and your shoulders are back, and your head is held a little higher. And even though you may not know it,
mm-hmm.
It's this subconscious that's going on in the back of your mind that people can feel. Like, people see it. I think a lot of times we go into situations where sometimes you have to not command respect, but you tell people who you are, like, mm-hmm. and you not talk with authority, but you present yourself in a very confident way, and people have no choice but to respect you and mm-hmm. respond to that, right?
Yeah.
And so I know with the clothing, I am very intentional about the prints that I select and mm-hmm. the way that I use certain prints for certain pieces. And so
gotcha.
I'm thinking about like the female body, what will accentuate mm-hmm. people of different sizes, what will look good on different people, what can be easily incorporated into something that they may already have. Perhaps they don't want to wear a whole dress. They just want to wear a shirt with some jeans. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that, thinking about things that they already feel good in, and then adding this pop of color into their wardrobe so that they already have kind of something that they're comfortable, say jeans or even a black dress, and you add this punch of color that just kind of draws people's attention.
Yeah,
you realize that people, you just feel good. Like you feel good about yourself. You feel good about how you look. And then people see that. They give you the compliments. And it's kind of the reassurance that, okay.
Yeah, I got this.
I got
your girl is fly. Yes, ma'am. And it's funny because I had mentioned before how, you know, growing up, or maybe even, let's just say maybe 10 years ago, if we're honest, mainstream, that is, like wearing like African-inspired type clothing was really reserved for just Black History Month. Yep. Like it wasn't something that we really did all year long. And I even struggle like, oh, I know I'm not really Afrocentric like that. Like I just wear normal kind of clothes. And I think that the Love Igwehi brand is, again, teaching women how to love their culture and their roots.
Yep.
Has there been anything that has helped you or helped you to see the impact that your clothing has had on women and helping them to love themselves and who they are?
Yeah.
Are you ready to level up? Today's episode is being brought to you by the Dream Chaser Conference, happening on Saturday, April 4th. The Dream Chaser Conference is an impactful gathering for Black women entrepreneurs and creatives who are relentlessly pursuing their dreams. Our speakers are industry experts and successful businesswomen who want to share their insights with you. You will walk away with new valuable connections and lucrative strategies for you to begin implementing immediately. Early bird tickets are now available for a limited time, so go to register at dreamchaserconference.com today.
So, a little background, I'm like I said before, I'm Nigerian American. So I was, both of my parents are Nigerian. I was born here in Oakland. And so these African prints and clothing I've seen all my life. The change that has happened actually over time is that while I've seen it all the times that we typically will wear traditional clothes is for ceremonies, is for weddings, is for more formal occasion. Here in America, we didn't really wear it to work. You know, you would wear traditional American clothes to work. And so what I have discovered over time is that my client base or my customer base is primarily Americans. It's not Nigerians, it's not Africans in particular, it's people who are not typically, they don't typically wear African prints. A lot of my customers, my clothing is like their introduction to African print.
And so it was mine.
To be at an event and say, oh, you should, first of all, the people always, you know, they would admire it. Oh, that's really pretty. And I was like, well, you should try it on. And they're like, oh, you know, they have reservations. But to see the look on people's faces when they actually put on a convertible wrap or put on something, like literally you can see the light in their eyes change. Right. And they're like, oh my God, this looks so good on me. I'm like, it looks wonderful on you. Oh, you know, walk in and they're like, oh my God, yes, I need it. I need to have this. And then to get messages from people like, I got so many compliments on, you know, whatever it is they want. It is the stamp that I need and kind of the encouragement that I need to keep going. You know, like it is confirmation that, okay, I'm operating in the lane that God has destined for me.
For sure.
I am serving a need.
Yes.
And what I'm creating is bigger than clothes.
For sure. For sure. For sure. And when you think of African American in general, in terms of our history and our history being ripped away from us through slavery, and think about even children. I'm even thinking when I was in school and, you know, it was culture day. And it's like, oh, bring something about your history. Mm-hmm. And being that we don't have that direct connection to Africa, like, it sucks sometimes. Mm-hmm. The simple fact that, like, all I could really bring is maybe a sweet potato pie or something. You know what I mean? That clothing wasn't readily available to be like, okay, these are our garments or whatnot. So even that, it has allowed, I think, for Black children and Black women and men to really embrace their culture. So it was funny. I think it was my son's kindergarten. I don't know if it was kindergarten, second grade. They had to make a little doll that mm-hmm. represented them in their culture. And I was all like, dog, what are we supposed to do? Like, mm-hmm. I was really stumped and I was mad at the fact that I was stumped. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? I can get some Lovey Gwehi fabric and put it on there and it can be like a little belt for you. So I say that to say, as we are sitting in Black History Month, that, you know, this is something that we do need to embrace. And of course the world isn't going to tell us that we need to, but the fact that you are making things that we can wear to work and that we can wear even the special occasions and really wear our culture.
Okay. Yep.
I think is big. It's really, really, really big. So question, why did you name your company Lovey Gwehi?
People ask that. And the name came really easy. It came very easy, actually. I don't know that I want to name it after myself, but there was something about like, well, I sew love into all of my pieces and I want people to feel the love. So this is kind of my gift to people. And so literally it was like, Lovey Gwehi is named after me because I'm the designer, but I want people to feel, like, have a feeling. It's beyond what it looks like, but I want you to feel loved and feel beauty and feel bold. And so, you know, you think about, like, when you hear the word, there are things that come to your mind automatically. Sure. And so that is why I named it Lovey Gwehi.
Love it. Cool beans. Now, obviously, you are an entrepreneur, a mompreneur, a solopreneur. So how do you, with your busy schedule, we didn't even talk about the fact that you have twins, plus our lovely Taylor Faith, plus your husband, all of everything. So how do you practice self-care? Because again, in this episode, we're talking about love and loving mm-hmm. ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as women, it's easy for us to put ourselves in the back burner. Tell us what does your journey look like as it relates to self-care?
I like that you use the word journey because I think that I am on the journey of discovery. I don't think that I've always done a good job of practicing self-care. And if I'm being fully transparent, it took me almost breaking down last year to realize that I had to put a pause on some things and really step back and realize and think about, like, what am I doing? Am I, you know, I can't kill myself for this business. What good am I, right? What good am I if I'm, you know, working all the time and I'm short with my kids, you know?
Yeah.
What good am I when I'm like working so hard that I'm like not sleeping?
Right.
And it's funny, I recently, someone posted about like team no sleep and I'm just like, nah, that's overrated.
That ain't the life.
It's overrated. Like a lot of us entrepreneurs, because of the nature of our job, because of the nature of us working and doing all these things for our businesses, we are kind of pushed to that, like, you got to get it done. You got to work really, really hard. And I was doing that and I've seen the changes in my health and I realized, I'm not the, even though I have three girls and I'm in fashion and all this, I'm not the most girly girl. Like, I don't typically pamper myself. I never get massages. So that's not really the way I practice self-care. Like, when people think about that, my self-care has been the ability to say no.
Okay.
And I'm really setting boundaries. And my natural inclination is to say yes to a lot of things and sign up. Because I want to help. That's just who I am. But I realized that I was burning myself out and spreading myself thin. So I've learned to be okay with saying no, not right mm-hmm. now. Perhaps mm-hmm. when I get things under control, then I can start to reintroduce some of the things I'd like to do. Sure. Setting boundaries just on time, you know, I could work all day, all night.
For sure.
I can work all day, all night because I feel excited about what I'm doing.
Yep.
But my kids deserve their mom. And so yep. I really enjoy my kids as crazy as they are.
Watch her stories, y'all.
Yes. Watch my IG.
Watch her stories.
I tell people, y'all. You know, the feed is all cute and you got all these cute pictures. Mm-hmm. But on
the real
Instagram
real.
Stories is where I don't got no eyebrows on and you can see my kids.
So, and I love that you do balance that because it's so easy in this world that we live in to try to paint the perfect picture and the filtered life, but it ain't that. I think we do our fellow sisters a disservice to think like this is the real and how this is actually like you can achieve this, but when that's not really what it is at
yeah.
all.
Yeah,
for sure, for sure, for sure.
But can I go back to the self-care thing? The one you mm-hmm. do, I've made a commitment to now, especially as we start this new year. For me, I'm an entrepreneur, I work a lot by myself, but my mm-hmm. natural is that I'm an extrovert. And so I realized this has been really hard for me. I didn't realize that
okay.
I was mm-hmm. working. So I've tried to be more intentional about spending time with people mm-hmm. and scheduling like lunch dates and stuff like that, because that I realized for me kind of is fuel for my soul. Like it
for
makes
sure.
me feel good. It makes me feel like connected to other mm-hmm. people. So that's one of the ways in which I've practiced self-care, just kind of
cool.
time and reading a lot of audiobooks.
Okay. Like yeah, there. I forgot the name of the book, and if I find it, I'll put it in the show notes, guys. There was a book talking about really studying like introverts and extroverts mm-hmm. and how you are actually charged, and yep. because you are an extrovert, you are charged when you are with people. So even myself, like I literally have to like every by Thursday, I need to be out, mm-hmm. like whether it's at a coffee shop with somebody, because I cannot like work from home all the time by myself. Like I literally would go cuckoo for cuckoo puss. And I think that's probably why I be on my stories too, so I can like feel like I'm interacting yeah, yeah. with somebody.
Yep.
But we are going to put a standing date on our calendars.
We should.
We're less than 5 miles away from each other, crying out loud. But as a mom, how are you teaching your daughters to even love themselves as Nigerian American young girls? And like we had just said, when we hear brown skin girl come on, like we like mm-hmm. I play Virginia, like girl go ham, like you yes. don't understand, I didn't have this song growing up, but right. you do,
right?
So how are you teaching your daughters to love themselves?
I mean, it's stuff like that, like singing and dancing when you have songs like that that like uplifts little mm-hmm. girls. I'm blessed in that I'm living in a multi-generational home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so my kids get to see their grandmother and grandfather. They get to eat Nigerian food all the time, you mm-hmm. know? And I have an amazing husband who is always speaking life into his girls, you know? Yeah. He's always telling them how beautiful they are. one of the twins, I carry, the other day came to me with, what did she say? Oh, she gave me a hair wrap and wanted me to tie it on her head. And I was like, well, give me a smaller scrap. You know, she was here. I was like, you need a smaller scrap. Mm-hmm. He was like, I can't find one. I was like, I'll find mm-hmm. one. But like little things like that.
Little things like that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, little things like that you think is kind of like a small, innocuous thing, but you're realizing that they are mimicking what they see.
For sure.
You know? And they don't have those same sense of like insecurities that I had.
Yeah. As a kid,
right? They want to wear them. Taylor wants to wear her African print skirts to school. Mm-hmm. I would never when I was younger mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I didn't have that same sense of comfort in myself and pride gotcha. In my culture mm-hmm. that she does. So mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know, these little things that we don't really think about. Or we may be thinking about it's really impacting the way my daughters view themselves.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think we're aware of that more now as, I'm not going to call us modern moms, but, you know, we're more aware because I would never, I mean, and granted, time is different, you know, perm my daughter's hair right now, but that was okay and acceptable like 20 years ago.
That's what you get burnt on the ear with hot combs. I mean,
on the forehead.
On the forehead.
On the forehead. Do you hear me? And the other day, I had like liberated myself because I was doing Jayla hair and I was like trying to put in the ponytail. I'm like, you know what? No, like you can wear your hair free today. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be slicked down as a ponytail. Like, no, like this is how your hair is. And I don't want her to feel like her hair has to be a certain way mm-mm. in order. I'm not saying that she ain't going to go out the house with her hair looking all crazy and not combed, but the fact that, oh, it doesn't have to be slicked and laid down and everything, but you know, it can stand up.
It can stand up and that's okay because that's how
it is. And it is okay. Do you hear me? So as Black women, how do you think we can love ourselves better? So we can love, we can wear Love Igwehi. We can create communities where we support each other and we're aligned with other women who are, you know, doing not the same thing, mm-hmm. but similar things so they can understand the struggle. Are there any tips that you have in terms of as Black women, how we can love ourselves better?
Compliment each other.
That's good.
We can compliment each other when we see something that we like that a fellow sister has. Mm-hmm. Let her know. Because you don't realize, you don't necessarily know like what kind of days she's having.
For sure.
You don't know how she felt about what she has on or how her hair is looking. And so those little things makes such an impact. Sometimes when I get a compliment, and be receptive to receiving the compliment.
Yeah. Oh, don't be like, oh, this whole thing.
Oh, I just, you know, don't just say thank you. You know, I appreciate it. And then you realize that those little things, like, they matter and they play a big impact in how you feel about yourself and how you feel your perception of other women. You know. I think that's good. I think sharing of knowledge and resources, like if you know of a conference that you think that, you know, someone may be interested in, that it could, you know, fuel their soul, spirit, mind, whatever, let them know. Oh, I had you on my mind, just reaching out. You know, if somebody crosses your mind, that's one thing that I've tried to do. I do it more in text. It would be better if I called, but like, if someone crosses my mind, instead of just having that person cross my mind, I will literally send a text that says, literally, you just crossed my mind. Hope you're well. Like, it's very mm-hmm. simple, but just to feel remembered, you know? Mm-hmm. We live in a day and age where it's like, out of sight, out of mind. You don't even think about it.
Sure.
If you're not on social media, you don't exist. Like,
for sure.
There are a lot of people who don't do social media, but they're still, they're out here. So kind of acknowledging that people are there complimenting, letting people know that you're on their mind.
I love it. And I think one of the things that does when you say like give each other a compliment is we're obviously building each other up and we're tearing down those walls that sometimes people think like, oh, Black women don't like each other.
Exactly.
Or
yep.
That kind of a thing. And I try to do that intentionally. And I'll be honest, like, not that I'm easily intimidated, but, you know, sometimes people got faces and it's like, oh, I shouldn't even say nothing to her. But sometimes, like, the Lord would just put it on my heart to just say something, whether it's mm-hmm. just say hi or mm-hmm. Go ahead and give a compliment. And literally that face just breaks and then it turns into a smile. And sometimes people might have a guard up, but I believe that as we, you know, walk in this way and allow our light to shine and give compliments and love on each other, we are dismantling that armor that we sometimes have to wear as Black women and be like, okay, it's safe. I see you.
Yep.
And then we're more open to, you know, whatever it is that God has for us. So I feel you on that.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. My resting face is not the most inviting.
Igwehi.
My resting face has a mind of its own.
and it's crazy. Like, literally, and it can be what it is, but as soon as you open your mouth, you see your bright white teeth, and it's like, oh, like, she told.
People say that all the time. They're like, I've had one person in particular I will never forget. He was in North Carolina, and she was like, I'm glad that I got to know you. And I said something, and she was like, I really thought that you were a B. And I was like, what? She was like, because you come off very serious, and you sometimes will just look in your expression. And for me, like, I don't even know what my face looks like. But instantly, if you say so, you, I'm who I am, and there's nothing like, I don't have a mean spirit, mm-hmm, you know, kind,
for sure.
But people won't know that necessarily, yeah. Right? And so, like you said, when you say something, when you speak, it really does tear down those walls. It
sure.
breaks like the preconceived notion someone may for have sure. of another person. So I think we need to definitely do more of that.
For sure, for sure. So I know we could literally stay on this call, on this episode forever. But obviously you got to get back to sewing, and I got to get back to planning this conference. But the last question I do want to ask, because obviously you are an entrepreneur and a lot of entrepreneurs listen. Actually, I had somebody send in a question, so I got two more questions for you. What would you say to women? Here we go. What would you say to women that they say to themselves, I have to put my dreams on hold since I have kids now? I mean, I know you're a mom of twins plus T. What would you say to that?
I would say that you definitely don't have to put your dreams on hold, but you may have to make concessions or you know, alternate or change things in your life to accommodate your family, your kids, and this dream that you're chasing. So whether that mean, and I'm not good at it, but whether that mean putting the kids down early so that you mm-hmm. have individual time in the evening to focus on that, or if that means getting up really, really early,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. to work on that before you get the kids up. You're just kind of making adjustments in your own life to then do the chase the dream and, you know, be a mom. And I think it's important that kids see that. Kids
yeah.
see you chasing a dream, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's important for you to set a good example of what it is to have goals and dreams and be working actively towards that so that they too can feel encouraged to chase whatever dreams that they have, and whether that means working in corporate America, but being the best worker that they can be, you know, they see the passion that you have for something, and they can then too model after that. But I definitely don't think that you have to put it on hold. I think you have to lean mm-hmm. on your network. And so I know that everybody doesn't have a huge, not everybody has a huge village, but I know that, sometimes we don't do a very good job
asking
for help, using the resources that are available to us.
For
and
sure.
resources can be friends,
yeah.
and resources can be family, and resources yeah. can be coworker. I mean, like, we have to really say, okay, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let my pride get in the way of me.
Has to not going to let your what get in the way?
Pride mm-hmm. get in the way of asking for help. And
yeah.
like I said, I mean, there was a time recently, I literally reached out to my book club. I said, mm-hmm. you guys, I have something coming up. I really need your help.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has time, people are not, what was it? 5-6 people responded. I'll be there. I can help. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of, and then somebody was like, thank you for like mm-hmm. letting us know that you needed help, because
yeah.
we want to help. We just don't know how or where, you know, where we can be used. And
for
so
sure.
for these people who are parents and have dreams that they want to chase, I say do it. I say ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
If there are people who are doing something similar to what you may be interested in, reach out to them.
Reach out, for
reach
sure.
Reach out. I've had people reach out to me for all kinds of stuff. Sometimes, like, oh, I'm just learning, you know?
Right.
But whatever knowledge or resources or anything that I have to share, I'm always willing and happy to share.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure. I think that's going to be a game changer for a lot of women that are listening to this. I just feel it and know it for sure. Last question that came in through DM is, how did you get started in terms of financially? Did you start with a lump sum, or did you just kind of invest in whatever you had left over back into your business?
Yeah, so I can happily say that the business is self-funded. Mm-hmm. I started with a small kind of investment, and that was more so, I didn't really even know I was going into business per se. It was more of a, oh, I'm investing in this new hobby. And so the money that I would make, I would put it right back into the business. So for the most part, I mean, not most part, for all of it, the business is funding itself. But again, there's sacrifices that are made in this process, and that I've let go of a full-time salary. And mm-hmm. so in some sense, that is my investment, right? Because yeah. until I'm like making that back, which, to be completely transparent, I am not yet. I have invested my time, a lot of my time, and I've let go of steady income to do this. And so, yeah, I'm sewing in. I haven't received any kind of outside loans or investments or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think sometimes one of the excuses that people use, like, oh, I don't have the money to do it, but it's like, just start where you are. Like, some people say, like, I want to open up a restaurant. Well, you're not at the restaurant level just yet. You know what I mean? Just start making some plates on Friday. You know what I mean? And reinvest that money. I always say, don't be at the place where you don't need the money if you can. Yep. Then that way you're not hustling to try to make the money because, you know, that's all that you have. And then you're actually able to reinvest it in the business. And so having that window. So even if you are on your full-time job, like, keep on. I've heard statistics say, like, until you're making three times as much as what you make, don't think about leaving. Mm-hmm. That's not everybody's situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody's plan is totally different. I think the plan that God has for people are different. So it's not like a cookie cutter answer to that, but don't let not having the money stop you at the end of the day. Yep. You know, you, like you said, like, your mom had a brand new sewing machine that was there, and you're not you, but another person could say, like, nobody's there to give me a sewing machine. Well, go to the Goodwill and see if you can find a used one.
I mean, straight up, like, the thing is, if you are determined to do something, you're going to find a way.
For
And it doesn't have to be, I mean, where I am is not where I was 2-3 years ago. Yeah. Like, I literally didn't have a lot. I mean, I still don't have a lot. I'm growing, though. You know, I started off with material and not much more than that, as far as like how you display your things and packaging and branding. Like, if I waited till I got all that, I probably would never start it, you know?
Yeah.
So, recognizing that you just have to start small, and don't let people rush you. Don't let social media make you feel like you have to do all this and be all this and have everything together. Like, no, your journey is your journey. If you have a product, be the best at producing that one thing, and don't let anybody rush you into feeling like you have to have a whole line before you can launch. No, you got the best butters. Release your butter.
Release your butter. Let it fly. Let it melt on somebody's
Bless the people
head.
With your butter.
you are too much. So, no, for real, for sure. So, how can people connect with you if they would like to connect with you some more?
Yeah, connect with me. I have a website. It's loveiguehi.com, and that's loveiguehi.com. And then I am on social media. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, trying to get with the Twitter. But all of that is at loveiguehi. Again, L-O-V-E.
Yay. Awesome. And I want to thank you again, Iguehi, for being a sponsor of the Dream Chaser Conference happening on April 4th. Y'all, she's going to have like the new at the conference. So you want to make sure that you are be there. It's going to be exclusive. Like, by the time Monday come of that week, like, it's gonna be sold out, and so you're gonna be mad. We don't want you to be in that situation. But Igwehi, thank you again for being on the podcast today. I know that our conversation has totally enriched someone's life and helped them on their dream chasing journey. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, girl.
Hey, hey, Dream Chaser. Can we be real for a moment? Going after your dream isn't easy. Rejection, personal insecurities, the fear of failure, and the lack of support can make even the most ambitious woman cry. This is why the Dream Chaser Conference was created just for you. Women who are ready to soar in 2020. Women who aren't allowing excuses to leave them broke. Women who are ready to leave comfort zones and take their businesses to new levels. This is Jennifer Hammack, the founder of the Dream Chaser Conference, happening on April 4th in San Ramon. And I want to personally invite you to register for the conference. Early bird tickets are now available for a limited time. So go to dreamchaserconference.com today to register. Thank you for allowing me to hold space with you today. I hope that this episode has encouraged you and helped you to continue moving forward on your dream chasing journey. If you were blessed by this episode, be sure to rate and share it with a friend. Be sure to visit the show notes at the bottom and click the link to join our Facebook community where we show love and support to each other. Remember this, sis, your dream is worth the work.